singing that. Just a real quick, I have to give this announcement. I forgot to give it. There is no outreach meeting tonight, so the outreach meeting is canceled for tonight. But we are going to have Brother Sean is going to be preaching to us. I just want to say he's been such a blessing to me as I got to know him, and a curse to me as I got to know him. Just kidding. He's been such an encouragement. He's been a help. He's always there for when I have a question, or he always has a good joke to shoot at me to make my day. Another thing I just love about him, he's so talented, and he uses his talents for the Lord. I appreciate that so much. I tease, my wife and I, we always tease. We're like, man, we're not talented. We don't have any talents. We just smile at people. I always say, I sang in the choir at our other church, and I was like, it was like, you see that flag there, and then I stood next to the flag. It was like a decoration up there. That's all my talent was. But Brother Sean has so many talents, and he uses them for the Lord, and all his talents seem to touch so many people's lives in so many different ways. It amazes me. And he can speak well, and he's so encouraging. Every time I talk to him, he's so encouraging. Another thing is that he's another generation, a younger generation he represents. And it's so encouraging to see younger folks, younger generations stepping up, serving God, and showing us that God is still important in this generation. As many of you testify through your age and your faithfulness, how God is important. And I look down then and I'm in between in the lost generation. But I look at Brother Sean's generation, and he is an example, a shining example of his generation, that God is important in that generation. And young people, listen up and pay attention. And senior saints, encourage him with a smile as he comes up. You do so much with the music and all that. Let's just do something special for Brother Sean today, and let's just show him that we love him and give him a hand as he comes up today.
Thank you. I was hoping for an offering, but I'll take the clap. No, I'm just kidding. That's a joke. That's a joke. That's a joke. I get into trouble when I speak, and so I try not to speak very much. The lesson I have for you tonight is actually born out of, Pastor Clear talking to me a couple of months back, not about not being here tonight, but he was going to be gone a couple of weeks from now in Asia for a trip, I think, with Brother Chapel, and obviously with the coronavirus, that was canceled. I had been thinking about a message to preach to the church for a while, and it was kind of born out of just talking to Pastor Clear in his office. Every once in a while, I like to go to his office, and I'll just sit down and ask him some questions about ministry, about just kind of things that he sees. And I'll go to his office, and he'll normally, his normal Pastor Clear way, good to see you, Brother Sean, and he'll invite me in, and we'll sit and talk for a while. He was talking about outreach, and it really got me thinking about this idea of meaningful outreach, is what I'm going to be talking about tonight. I want to start off here with a word of prayer, because if we don't have prayer, not much can be accomplished. So let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for First Baptist Church. Thank you for what it's meant to me throughout these years, Lord. And I pray that you'd help me as I deliver this message, that it would speak to hearts, and that it would help us to change our lives in this matter of outreach. In your name we pray, Jesus, amen. Want to start off by saying, I believe the Lord has given me a passion for wanting to reach people. Mainly you've all heard my testimony, and there's bits and pieces I've given you, but there's a lot there that I haven't talked about. But I'm in church today because a lady in the church had a passion for reaching people. She reached my mom, which obviously ended up reaching me. And as I told you the story, my life changed pretty quickly. I was going to a public school. I was kind of in a church, but not, regularly in church. And my mom wasn't in church. I grew up in a single-parent home. And so, me and my two brothers, we weren't in church all the time. But as soon as my mom got saved, she got us in church. And literally, 3-4 months later, I'm in the hallways of First Baptist School. And you've heard the story there. But I think about the people that reach me. It's not always the pastor who reaches you. Many times, it's the everyday working people that do the reaching and do the ministering. And our churches couldn't work if it was just the pastor doing the ministering. It wouldn't happen. Pastors, they say great pastors can pastor 100 people by themselves. That's without any staff. They say most pastors can handle 50 people ministering to them. That's without having any staff. And so this idea of ministering as a pastor, it's not, they just can't do it alone. It takes the whole church. But I want to read a statistic for you that's kind of startling. According to a Gallup poll that was just conducted in April 2019, roughly a year ago, 76% of Americans in 1948 attended church regularly. Today, the poll stated that of those born right at that time in 2019 when they took the poll, they stated these statistics. In 1945, 68% of those born before 68% of them still attend church today. Of the baby boomers, 57% attend. Of those born from 1965 to 1979, 54% attend church, and millennials attend church at a 42% rate. Statistic, in addition to that, is the atheist population of America currently sits at 26% of the population. So when I look at those numbers, I realize we have a problem, and a lot of our problem is in this idea of outreach. And just to be quite honest, I think that there are multiple things we could list as issues that we're having with outreach, but I think sometimes because people get discouraged, because maybe you're trying to do some things and it's not working, so on and so forth. Or maybe you're just scared, whatever it might be. Hopefully we'll be able to give you some things here tonight that can help you. But let's take our Bibles, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to look at verse 19 through 23. And to give you the context of this passage before we read it, Apostle Paul had a lot of difficulty early on in ministry, especially because the disciples and other Christians had a lot of doubts about him. And understandably so. Imagine a guy who persecuted you, who you watched kill, men, women, it didn't matter. And he did it because he was zealous towards God. Just as his zeal was wrong, misdirected. And you know the story, but as he gets converted, the church is questioning him. But they question him even more because they notice, they almost look at him like he's wishy-washy. Because when he's with the Jews, he is, more kosher in how he behaves. He does what the Jews do to reach them. But then when he's with the Greeks, he does kind of what the Greeks do to reach them. He finds ways to reach different people. And the church in that day, some of them were questioning that. They were looking at how he did things and having a hard time with it. And so he's defending himself here and addressing some things. But he says this in verse 19. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Verse 20, and unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. So what you see here in this passage is Apostle Paul is basically saying, hey, I am doing what I can to reach people. I am, when I'm with the Jews, I'm reaching them in a manner that they can understand, that will relate to them. When I'm with the Greeks, I'm using the techniques, different things to reach them. It doesn't say that he changed doctrine. Sometimes we think that by reaching people in different ways, somehow that means we're changing doctrine. We should never change doctrine. But there are methods and things that sometimes we have to change because times change. I remember when I was in college, hearing a message, and one person pointed out how when Brother Hiles and some of these other guys first started the bus ministry, they were kind of ripped apart because they were giving away candy and things to get people to come to church. It was looked at as, how dare you do that? You're bribing people to come to church. But today we give out candy all the time. You don't even think about it. See, we had a method. That method was not sinful. It didn't affect doctrine. It was handing a kid a piece of candy. And we don't even think about that today. But do you see how sometimes as a church, we can make things controversial that really aren't? We need to stick to what the Bible says, doctrine. And our opinions, as Apostle Paul said, whenever Apostle Paul had an opinion, by the way, he always spoke it by permission. He said, hey, here's my opinion, but it's not, and that's what the Bible says. So we got to be careful that our opinions don't overrule doctrine. If it doesn't hurt doctrine, then we're okay. Now, I want to point out a couple of things here tonight in this matter of outreach. I have five thoughts here, and hopefully they'll help you. But number one, in our outreach, we need to bathe everything that we do in prayer. We need to bathe it in prayer. I think one of the biggest problems that we have is we don't pray that God would allow us to reach people. We don't pray personally for that. We don't pray that God would give us somebody to come across our path that we could give the gospel to. And I'll just be truthful with you. In today's world, the way to minister to people has changed. It really has. It used to be you could obviously knock on a door and man, kids come out, fill a bus just that quick. But can I be honest with you? If someone came to my door today and knocked on it and said, can your kids come ride our church bus? I'd be like, no. I'd feel weird about that. Does it mean that the bus ministry is dead or not good? No, it's just saying sometimes things do change. It might not be the same effective tool as it once was. And that could be because of the different regions we live in. It could be because of many different reasons. But we can't allow that to, you know, say, oh, man, if we change that, that'd be horrible, okay? And I'm not saying we have any plans to change the bus ministry, but I'm just giving you an example here. But going back to this idea of bathing in a prayer, we need to pray that God would do something with us. Pray that God would give us boldness to give the gospel. And the point I was trying to get across is sometimes it might mean going out, inviting a person to have a cup of coffee with you. That might be a form of outreach. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's unlikely. I go door-to-door soul winning, and I'll tell you, certain neighborhoods, I have different responses. If I go to North Minneapolis door knocking, somebody's going to come to the door and talk to me. But if I go to Rosemount and knock on the door, somebody might come and talk to me, but it'll probably be like, what are you doing here? It won't be as easy for me to give the gospel to them. And that's just how it is sometimes. Doesn't mean we shouldn't door knock. No, I'm just saying there are other avenues. But we need to bathe whatever we do in prayer. Secondly, we need to have compassion for the lost and a zeal according to knowledge. You know, Apostle Paul, he had zeal at one point, but it wasn't according to knowledge. But then, when he got saved, he changed that, and he had a zeal for the lost. So he did whatever he could to reach the Jews, whatever he could to reach the Gentiles. But you and I need to have compassion. I want to spend a little time on this. I believe Apostle Paul in this passage was trying to get across this point of you and I need to have a compassion for people, a desire to reach people. And let me just say this. I believe that the church today in general across the world, or as the United States I should say, does not have the same passion it once did for souls. That is why other countries send missionaries to America now. Because we, I believe, have become complacent in our soul winning. Honestly, we're living on the blessings of men that have gone before and reached people. I mean that with all my heart. And it's a sad thing. We're not reaching people. Do you know why? I believe it's because Once again, we've got complacent. See, it's easy to come to church and stand and sing it from your songbook, sing in the choir. It's easy to do that. But that's not our main goal. God said we're supposed to go out into the highways and hedges and compel people to come in. We ought to be reaching people. That means you should be going in your neighborhood, getting to know your neighbors. It doesn't mean that you're giving them the gospel first time, but maybe it means you go and shovel your neighbor's driveway. Or maybe it means that you go and you bring them a gift basket and say, hey, I just want you to know I'm so glad you're in our neighborhood. When you're doing that, it gives you an avenue to reach those people. We ought to collectively be doing all we can to bring people into this place. Why? So they can hear the greatest story ever told, which is the story that Jesus Christ came to die for their sin and that they could have life and have it more abundantly. Do you believe the gospel is the greatest story? Yes or no, church? Then what are we doing to push that gospel out to people? What are we doing to bring people in? It ought to be. Our goal should be every week that we have those baptismal waters stirring because we're going out and reaching people. We're doing our best. Hey, by the way, it's not our job to worry about the numbers or whatever. Our job is just to go out there and go and witness and create relationships and bonds with people. That's what our job is. And God will take care of the rest. But I'm just telling you, church, I believe Cross Christianity, we're not doing that. Pastor Clear said this a couple of weeks back. I don't know if you remember. He said, most churches do not have new growth. All they have is the recycling of other church members from this disgruntled, they got disgruntled at this church, they went to that church, and this. And that's how most churches are growing. But we're not doing our job if that's not growth at all. It ought to be that this church and every church that's preaching the gospel is a spiritual hospital where people come in. You know what? I love to see on a Sunday morning at Gospel Light Baptist Church when people walk in from all different walks of life. Some of them tattooed everywhere, piercings everywhere. During the Sunday morning break, they might go out and smoke a cigarette. You know what? I'm okay with that because I want those people to come to church so that they can grow. And eventually, we know that the Holy Spirit will help work on them and he'll do the job. But I want to see lost sinners or people who are struggling. I want to see them come to church. I have a compassion for them because we're a spiritual hospital. They ought to feel welcome here. Every last one of them. And you veteran Christians, you've been saved 30, 40 years. You ought to be the first one making a beeline to them, putting your arm around and saying, buddy, I'm glad you're in church today. And then you ought to follow up on them and make it your goal. Let me guess. You thought Pastor Clear's job was just to do that, right? Or it's Pastor Borner's? Or it's Brother Fletcher's? No, it's all of our job. It's all of our job. We need to have a passion. We need to have zeal. We need to reach people. Number three, go into the highways and hedges and compel people in. And I kind of stated that here. But you need to go anywhere where people are and reach them. Do you notice that when you read about Jesus, I don't know about you when you read your Bible, but when I read my Bible and I read about Jesus, he is very different than us a lot of times. The religious crowd said that he was a glutton, said that he was filled with a devil, said that he was wicked. Why? Because he would go and witness to a lady who was a prostitute. He would go to the people that no one else would. And the religious people said, hey, what are you doing? That's crazy. But Jesus went to them. You know what we do sometimes in our Christian world? Well, I just don't know if I want my kids to see people like that. maybe it's time we start letting our kids see that so they'll be more thankful for what you've given them. I said this before, I take my kids out when I go out soul winning. I like to take them out. I remember we went to a house one time when Jada was about 5 or 6 years old. She said, "Dad, what's that smell?" Some people were doing something not good in their house. You know what I said? I said, "You know what that smell is, Jada? That's the smell of people that need Jesus. They need what we're giving to them. Because I want my daughters and my son to see that there is a world out there that is lost and dying, and they need what we have. And I want them to see that every opportunity I could get. And I'm going to go wherever I can to reach people because somebody came to me." And believe it or not, somebody came to you too. Number four here. We need to learn to disciple people. Apostle Paul discipled people. He did. Who's one of his most famous disciples that you think of that he reached? Who did Paul reach? Timothy. Right? He reached Timothy. Where's your Timothy? Where's my Timothy? See, we don't know who's going to accept the gospel. We just got to give it, like I said. We don't know, but we got to give it. And we got to make connections with people. You know, when I witness to people, a lot of times I'm realistic that sometimes if I just, maybe if they come to the church, I can give them the gospel right away and I'll do that. But the average person that you meet, that might be a little too much for them. Not that you shouldn't do it. There's certain situations where you got to read what the Holy Spirit's telling you to do. But there's a man that I know. He is a dentist, owns several dentistries, and I've told several of my classes at school about him. But he knows I go to church. He knows that I'm an assistant pastor. He knows all these things. And one day, we were playing basketball at Lifetime, and he says to me, "Hey, one of his friends that brought him there said, hey, I have to go early." So this guy said to me, "Hey, Sean, can you give me a ride home?" I said, "Sure." And as I gave him a ride home, he has a nice house here on McAndrews Road, massive house. Like I said, he's a dentist, owns several dentistries. And as we're driving, he just starts crying in my car. I mean, hard crying. And I'm just kind of, okay, But he says to me, "Sean, I'm missing something in life. And I see something different with you." And I was able to use that opportunity to witness to him. He didn't get saved, but it gave him a lot to think about. And he said that. He's like, "I got a lot to think about." See, I created a relationship with him first so that I could give him the gospel. Church, you need to start going out and making relationships with people in the community that you live in and starting to get to know people, witness to them the best you can, but love on them in the meantime so that you'll compel them where they say, "Hey, man, I want what that person has." So that might mean you work on a person for a year or two, but every one of us ought to have somebody we're working on all the time. And stop thinking it's someone else's job. Guys, I don't know about you, but I believe that Jesus could come back any day. See, it's great preaching to say, "Bless God, he could come back any day." But we don't live like he could come back any day. We don't give the gospel to people like he could come back any day. We don't. And that's why the total number of people going to church today, because there's one generation I didn't mention. If you count them, today, only 26% of Americans go to church regularly. Think about that. It ought to break our hearts. Hey, there are going to be, by the way, there are going to be some, the Bible says that some will not endure sound doctrine. Some will fall away. Some will do this or some will do that. But I believe there's a group of people that would endure sound doctrine, that wouldn't fall away if we just reached them. For all of you that are gray heads in the church, you know, we have to look around a little bit and say, hey, who's going to take our place? And people in my generation, we need to look around and say, hey, what are we going to do to reach our generation? Or are we just going to be complacent? That's a sobering thought for me. And then final point here. Changing things to reach people doesn't insult what those in the past did. It is okay to reinvent. Doctrine stays the same, but methods can and should be changed. You know, we're not interested in changing doctrine at all. Sometimes I think the younger generations get beat up a little bit for that because they think, a lot of people think, oh, they want to change the doctrine aspect. I think that's not the case for most. I think that what we see is we're unwilling to change things in a meaningful way to reach people. It doesn't mean we throw out everything we've always done, but it does mean that we have to reinvent things. Do you know what? I believe when Pastor Johnson came here, he did some things differently than what maybe those before him did. And that was good for the church. And maybe Pastor Clear has some things that he'd like to do differently. You know, I can say this because I'm not the pastor. But you know what? Maybe Pastor Clear wants to do something different. But he hesitates because maybe some in our church are not ready to change the things that could help reach next generation. That's a tough thing to say. But I mean that. I didn't say we're bringing a rock band in, because if you do, I won't be here. But for goodness sakes, if he has a coffee table out there, it doesn't mean we have to say, oh no, we're becoming worldly, we're becoming Starbucks, I gotta leave. What's next? Is he gonna add cream to the hot cocoa? He knows I like it strong, let's go. Yeah, like, we laugh, but we get like that. And I've said it before, you know, we need standards. But can I tell you, you know, I almost preached tonight in just a collared shirt. And no tie, just to see the response. See, that shakes it up a little bit. But there's some who, he's not wearing a tie, Pastor Borner. See, sometimes we got to get out of our rut sometimes. And let's keep the main thing. Yeah, we say we want the main thing to be the main thing. Then if the main thing's the main thing, why are we not reaching souls like we could? Because that's the main thing. Jesus Christ did not die for you to hold on to this certain area that you feel is more important. He died so that sinners might be saved. I'm telling you, we're going to be surprised when we get to heaven. And a lot of things that you thought were important, God's going to say, it wasn't important. Don't tell me about your dress standard. Tell me about the lives that you're trying to change on a day-by-day basis. You know, I'm for the KJV. I'm KJV only. But don't talk to me about that. You don't even read it. See, you'll criticize this other person who's trying to do something. See, sometimes we're more worried about the color of someone's hair or this or that than the fact that maybe they're in our church and they're trying to reach people more than you're doing. See, I just want to call it out. Because we need to be about people and reaching them. That's what we need to be about. And as I said before, God will take care of the rest. He really will. And by the way, First Baptist, I want you to know, I'm not scolding you. I really am not. I'm not talking about First Baptist alone. I'm talking about Christianity in general. We just have lost the main focus. We really have. Hey, I could be a better soul winner. I can be a better, reaching out to people more. But I am trying. You know, right now, there's a young lady in our church. My wife and I have her living in our house, and she's going to our school here. You know what? I'm trying to put into practice what I'm telling you. I'm trying to disciple her because I know where she comes from. I know that if, humanly speaking, God has laid that on my heart, and if I don't step in, who's going to do it? If I wait for the next person, it might be too late for that young lady. So my wife and I have stepped in. We're trying to get her to graduate from First Baptist School. And I appreciate Mr. Kane and Pastor Clear and some of these ones willingly, you know, Brother Kane, you don't even realize how much of a help you are to that young girl's life. By you having her in this school, it could revolutionize her life. Some of you don't know the whole story, but you know what? And she wouldn't mind me telling you, but I'm just going to tell you this, and I'll finish. But that young girl had to sell drugs when she was a little girl so her family would have food. Did you hear what I just said? So her family would have food. That ought to break every one of our hearts. And every one of us could go and reach people like that. And make a difference and disciple them and change them. And I count it a privilege that God would even allow me to have a part in that young girl's life. Mr. Kane, I think I gave you the letter that she wrote that one day in my senior seminar class. But it broke my heart. I had them write an assignment. She talked about her life. What I'm saying is, church, there's people out there hurting. What are you doing? What are you doing? Let's pray.